evening, folks, and welcome to
7x70.
This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's a stormy Radio Ranch tonight. Got flood warnings for town, but we're fine out here. No rain out here at the Radio Ranch, but it rained a little earlier. But, boy, some dark clouds have rolled through, and I guess everybody's kind of had some of that lately. I know Brother Chris in North Carolina had some of that on Wednesday, had some local damage, and we certainly prayed against that, and we've prayed for safety for all that are his out here as well. And but we do welcome you. It's June 30th, 2016, and what a blessing it is to be here. And we'll have the phone lines open up tonight, and but we'll start out with a prayer, and then want to talk to you about a bridge. How about that? A change. We'll talk about that a little tonight. Well, Heavenly Father, oh Lord, oh God Jehovah, King of kings and Lord of lords, you who created all things, Lord, the earth and all that's in it, the cattle on the thousand hills, Lord, and the thousand hills, they all belong to you. And Lord, we thank you that you give us this opportunity to come together, to fellowship, Lord, to come together in your name, the name of Jesus Christ, to read your word, to study your word, Lord, to talk about your word, and to have fellowship with one another and with you. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that opportunity, Lord, that we live here in this country, then, and we are able to do this, Lord. May it ever be so, that we are able to read your word and share your word and your gospel with all those that are yours, and with the world, Lord. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross willingly, for making that choice, for the joy set before you, it says, to save a wretch like me. I thank you for making that choice, O Lord. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit to help us make the right choices, to do the right things, Lord, in these dark days that we're in. Oh Lord, help us, help your remnant to make the choice to read their Bible and to study it and apply it, Lord, and then to apply those godly principles in their lives. And Lord, then if we will do that, it will not be long, Lord, and those godly principles will be, Lord, they'll be applied in the counties and the cities and the local governments, Lord, and the state governments. And then it'll be applied back in this country, Lord. But help us to remember it starts with us. It starts with us repenting and returning to you. Oh, Lord, I cry out for that repentance. I cry out for that returning to you, to your ways, to your truths. Returning to you, love, and love and supplication. Oh, let it be, Lord. Let it be time for that to happen, Lord. We see your healings and your miracles, Lord. Your attesting miracles, Lord. We're seeing them once again, and we thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for a new granddaughter that, Lord, is healthy and nursing on her mama. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for another new little Ellie in the church, Lord, and that is just growing and doing great. And, Lord, I thank you for little Callan, Father. His numbers are getting better. Hopefully get him home this weekend, Lord. Thank you. You show us, Lord, your miracles where the world gives up hope. The world says, no, don't, that won't work. We thank you, Lord, that you still sit on your throne, that you're attesting miracles, your signs, your wonders are as alive and vibrant today, Lord, as they were the days you walked on this earth. Help us to remember that, Lord. Your word doesn't change. Help us to remember that, Father, and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, be with me tonight. Guide and direct my thoughts, Lord, as we read from your word, and let them be an encouragement to those out there, Lord, tuning in to your remnant, Lord. Let it be pleasing to you. And I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, again, we'll have the phone lines open tonight. Certainly lots going on in the world. You know, I looked at some of the current events between this Brexit continuing. Britain has exited the EU, and I'm hoping maybe next Sunday, not this Sunday, the 3rd, but maybe next Sunday I can bring some of that at Sunday school, and maybe we'll get a chance to talk about some of that next week. I don't think it's as quite as bad as all the naysayers we're saying that it's going to be. I think it's our people that are finally standing up and saying, we've had enough. We don't want to be part of that group over there. And you know, we've presented to you, we've talked in the last few years as we've seen reports on the North American Union and the AMERO, the North American Union currency, and the plans to do here in the North American continent between Canada and the United States and Mexico with what's happened over in Europe with the EU. And so, you know, as we get more on that, we'll sure bring it to your attention. But I think that this is sure a sign of those in England saying enough is enough. You know, we saw the same thing in Greece just a year or two ago. And in the Ukraine, we saw the very same thing. So it caused the war back there just a year or two ago. The House of Cards, this New World Order's House of Cards that they thought was just running along like an old John Deere Johnny Popper, well, it's missing on a few cylinders now. And don't think that your prayers, and don't think that our prayers have not had something to do with that. You know, God is a righteous judge. He sits on the throne, but he judges on what's brought before him. If you remember way back in the days, wasn't going to go there, but it comes to mind, way back in the days of Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, and Lot, do you remember what happened? Do you remember that God himself came down, the angel of the Lord came down and walked with Abraham and came down to look upon Sodom and Gomorrah? It's found in, I think here it is, Genesis 18. See if I can find the quote here. Yeah, here it is. We'll start in verse 16 of Genesis 18. Then the men arose from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Now this is the Lord and two angels. That's how it's represented here. I don't know about you, but I believe it. I believe it. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." So you see, way back in the beginning, this is 18 chapters into the beginning of our history, God is walking on the earth in the flesh, and he's going to see if the sin at Sodom and Gomorrah is as great as he's heard, because it says, "I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." And so the very blood of those innocents that were killed there, just the sin itself was crying out. The abominations in the land were crying out to God. And they were being presented before his throne. You know, the sin is, once again, it has to be crying out before the throne of God. Well, today's the last day of June. Tomorrow starts July 1st. We're over halfway through the calendar year now. I hope you've been reading your Bible. In our Bible reading plan, we're in Acts, and that's where I want to read tonight. This is becoming one of my favorite Bible stories, and it's Cornelius's vision and when Peter and Cornelius get together. And that's the bridge. This is because this here we're seeing, it's kind of a bridge between the Gospels, the story of Jesus and the Gospels, and then the apostles, as it grows, as the message, as the way, the the teachings of Jesus Christ, as it is growing, it's you know, Acts is kind of like a bridge between those two things. You know, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit here again. Not that it's never been mentioned, but right in the very beginning, I encourage it. And a couple weeks ago, we did read it right there. Read starting the beginning of Acts. Read Acts 1 and 2. You know, we've always stressed Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we continue to stand on that foundational scripture. That does not change. It hasn't changed. But I encourage you, get some of the rest of the story. Start reading in Acts 1 and Acts 2 and see what it was that brought about, you know, Peter standing there and saying, repent and be baptized. You know, he didn't just walk up. There's a lead-in to the story. And part of it is, I shall pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. Read it. Read Acts 1 and 2. And it when I read it again this time, it gave me new meaning. It gave me a greater understanding of that command for baptism. It did. That we are to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, and that is a great thing to desire. And as Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This ministry will not change that position. That name is Jesus Christ, and Acts 2:38 baptism, after repentance for the remission of sin, is absolute. Absolute. Well, I want to read in Acts 10, because in Acts 10, something happens here. The gospel has been given. They've been told not to go to certain places, but they've done some traveling. But here we see that God is opening up the gospel. Let's just read it. We're going to start in Acts 10, and we'll. I better get my bottle of water here. Actually, cooled down outside. Got the window open, and it is. It's a beautiful evening here. We've got some blue skies at the Radio Ranch. Some clouds. Looks like some pretty serious storms toward town, but we're pretty clear out here. Praise the Lord. Acts 10. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, or battalion, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the people, and prayed to God continually. And so we see here is this man would be called a Gentile. This man is not the way they look at it. They don't believe he's a Hebrew. He's not a Judahite. They would call him a Jew, and he's not. And so he is of the Italian cohort at Caesarea. He's unclean, uncircumcised. You have to remember, he's not one of the group. He's not one of them that they've been sent to give this message to. Okay? But we read about him. He was a devout man. He feared God with all his household. So he demanded that his household fear God and live that way as well. And he gave many alms to the people and prayed to God continually. He put his money where his mouth was. He supported the church. He gave alms to the poor. Let's read. Verse 3, about the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius, and fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man, Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And so his righteous acts, even though he was an unclean person, he was uncircumcised, that's how they looked upon him then, he was one they would never go preach the gospel to. But his righteous acts, it says, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. See, God, because God sees all, just as in the Old Testament, he saw what was going on. He heard of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, I'm going to go to intercede for myself if it's as bad as I hear. And it was. And here, the Lord says, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. See, the righteous acts that we do, they come before, they're noticed as well. Now, we don't do them for that purpose. See, God, look what I did. No, that's not why we do them. We do them because it glorifies him. Because it overcomes the flesh. We do it because it surprises people. You ever do that? You ever just forgive somebody or do something for them just to surprise them? Bet you didn't think I was going to do that, you might say. And then you be like Cornelius. You have some prayers and alms that are righteous. Try that sometime. And so God saw it here in this, what the people of the time would call unclean, out of the group. Oh, he's one of those other people over there. We don't have anything to do with him. Even though his righteousness and his acts, his works, his deeds, his life, example, God noticed. Because God notices. Even if men didn't, God notices. And so, let me ask you that. Think about the things you do, folks, remnant, Christians. Are you glad that God notices the things that you're doing? Are you okay with them? Or would you rather say, Lord, don't look at those things. I'd rather you not. I'll confess my sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for doing things I shouldn't do, for looking at things I shouldn't look at, for not doing the things I should do. Forgive me, Lord. Strengthen me. Help me do better tomorrow than I did today. And Lord, help your remnant. Help your remnant, Lord, to have their prayers and alms offered up and seen and presented before God as a memorial, as this unclean Cornelius's was. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 7, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants, and after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So he not only he heard the word, he saw the vision, and he obeyed it. He didn't care. He said, men, this is what you're doing. He sent his personal servant with him, a bodyguard. You go do this. Verse 9, on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, get up, Peter. Kill and eat. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean. Again a voice came to him a second time, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And that word unholy, let me look at it here, is also described as to make common. Okay, what is holy? What is set apart? Do not make common. This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who is also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Peter went down to the men and said, behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come? They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. So he invited them in and gave them lodging. And so we see here, Peter has seen a vision. of all these unclean things, and he's been told to rise, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, no, I've never eaten anything unholy and unclean. And the voice came to him and said, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And that word unholy means unclean or common. Verse 23. And on the next day he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and fell at his feet and worshipped him. And you know, I pause here because we have to be careful that, especially maybe new people to either the ministry or new people to the message, new Christians, that we don't allow people to worship us. You know, I think we had a part of that with our pastor. And you know, there were some that when pastor passed away, people left. And unfortunately, some of it was because they worshiped him. Pastor would tell you, he was just a tool. Well, he was a mighty tool in the hand of God. He was. He opened my eyes up to the Scriptures. He opened my eyes and my heart up to the love of God. To the love of a God that held nothing back in his love, to the point of sending his only son, coming to earth as a man, walking this earth, and dying a wretched death to save us. Our pastor introduced us to that, but he would be the first one to tell you that it's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. It is about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, reading his word, certainly knowing who we are and applying that. And so we have to be careful here. Let's read what Peter did. Verse 25 again. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. There may be some Johnny come latelys that come in and that are blessed more, have different gifts of the Holy Spirit, have, you know, a different calling from God than we do. And if that happens, you know, that's okay. Let us be like Peter and say, I too am just a man. And as he talked with him, he entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Judean to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I ask for what reason you have sent for me. And so see right here, Peter himself has realized what that vision about the unclean animals and the command to him to rise and eat. And then the command that said, what God has cleansed, do not consider unholy. Peter says, God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. So Peter realized that this vision of the unclean animals coming down three times and him being told three times to kill and eat. And three times he's saying, Lord, I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean. And three times the voice saying, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. See, right after that, he was perplexed, the Bible story says. But here, it's a couple days later, he's thought about it. Now he's been brought into, you know, he's been told about Cornelius. He's come into his household. He's looked around and seen that that even though he's a foreigner, that even though he's not of who we preach to, he looks around and he sees a godly household. The godly household of Cornelius. Verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So there Peter's put on the spot. And you know, when you're put on the spot like that, God doesn't leave you. God doesn't leave you. You know, I got a text from a brother, I think just today. Let me see if I can find it real quick, because I want to share it with you. And because it happens sometimes. Sometimes you just get called at that point in time. And here's the text. It said, and this is from a dear brother, and I don't think he would mind me sharing it. And he sends a text out to some of the men. He says, it appears today I'm about the Father's business. 2 stops in 2 hours, and I'm usually in and out in 15 minutes, and I gave sermons at both. Worked with a lady who was having severe forgiveness issues about an ex-employee who stole from her. I sensed her bitterness, and the Spirit said, preach away. And you know what? He did. And he preached on baptism, and he preached on forgiveness. He preached on the breaking of ungodly soul ties, and he preached on the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he helped the people there. How about that? He helped them. He gave them hope. And he gave them words of encouragement. Praise the Lord. So you don't have to have a backwards collar on, the way the media portrays it, to do that. You don't have to have the title of pastor or reverend or brother in front of your name to do that. Peter didn't. Now, Peter was an apostle, but a possible. It's possible that he was. Whew, let me get a drink of water here. Peter was a possible. How about that? He was an apostle, but remember what he said here. I, too, am just a man. And he's come here, but he's realizing that things are changing, and they're changing for the better. Peter realizes this here. Whew, I get goosebumps. He's growing. Peter is growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like Jesus wanted him to. Jesus said, he told him, he said, go with them, because the men, I've sent them for you. Don't have any misgivings, just go. Verse 34 of Acts 10. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Now, I pause there because, you know, he sees that again. He's come to Cornelius' house. He's traveled a day or two with his men. He's gotten to know them a little bit. I'm sure he's asked questions. And he knows now, when he gets there, that Cornelius fears God and is doing what is right in God's eyes. Not in his eyes, but in God's eyes. And so, this is new. This is new stuff here. At least for Peter. I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews, in the land of Judah, and of the Judeans, and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and of the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Now, folks, you can believe that or not. I believe it. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and I believe that I receive forgiveness of sins because I believe in that name. It is a free gift that He gives us. Now, I have to do, you know, because I believe, I do what His Word tells me to do. I don't believe and then do nothing. Maybe we have some friends or family or people that are of that belief only. I know some people that are just believe only, and that's all you ever hear them say. Well, this scripture says that. We hopefully can encourage them to read their Bible, that there's, you know, if you believe, you will do what it says to do. And not just believe, because the demons believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they tremble. And we are called to be more than that. We are called to do more than just believe. And there is more than just a thought to that word, believe. Verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. See, this was a change. This had never been done before. As it says here, the circumcised believers, guess who they were? The Judean Christians. The Christians that previously had been following the, you know, what they'd been told to follow, what the law and all that. They were all circumcised. They were of Judah. They were Judeans. They believed the Christian message. They had repented and been baptized. And it says they were amazed. Verse 46 says they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Put yourself in that place. Put yourself in that. You know, you've been a follower of Christ. You saw Him a few years ago. And you had His apostles and disciples come and preach to you, and you believed, and you repented, and you got baptized, and you know, you've done things for the ministry, and you know, a few years have gone on now, and you're growing, and you're preaching, and you're teaching, and you're learning, and then all of a sudden you go over to this centurion of the Italian cohort, this Gentile, you know, 2 days' journey away. And you see this with your very eyes. And you're amazed. And you hear them speaking in tongues like you heard the others in the foreign languages speaking in a coherent language. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked them to stay on for a few days. And so here is one example of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon believers, upon those that feared God and did what was right in His eyes, those that as it talked about Cornelius, that prayed and gave alms and they were Christians indeed. They might not have been Christians in name yet, but they were Christians indeed. By their fruits they were known. And Peter said, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? Remember, Peter said, I'm just a man. And then when he saw this, he swallowed his pride, and he swallowed his understanding, and he swallowed and said, okay, Lord, okay, I get it. I get it. I should not call any man unholy or unclean, especially those that, as it says here, that fear God and that are doing what is right in the eyes of God. Maybe not with us. Maybe not with our group. And I think that's what these other Christians, these believers that were with him, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. See, God's gift is so great, we can't handle all of it. He has to pour it out on others as well. And there are others out there that you know, some we hear of, some we never will. But they're having that gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon them as well. And they're teaching the gospel. And they're healing the sick. And they're casting out demons. And they're helping people. Just like here. When I read this in Acts 10, I certainly don't think I'm misinterpreting what I'm reading here. I certainly don't think I'm representing these scriptures wrong. It's what it says. And if you read on, we don't have time tonight. We've got the phone lines open. I guess no listeners, or at least no callers tonight yet. 307-745-5913 if you do want to call in. But, you know, if you read on in Acts 11, Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and they kind of get on to him. Verse 2 says, when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." What are you doing? What are you doing going to those people over there? They're not circumcised. What are you doing? They took issue with him. And you know, that to me, that doesn't represent that it was a Matthew 18. Well, you know, brother, we don't understand why you would go do this kind of thing. You know, we've never done that before. No, I don't think that's how it was. They turned around, half of them probably stormed out as soon as Peter walked in. I bet you that's what happened. And they said they took issue with him. "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. What's your problem?" But I like verse 4 of Acts 11. "But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence." And read it. Read it. Verse 12, "The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings." Now, the Spirit hadn't told those other men to do that. And they were understandably upset when they first saw it. But you know, I like the way it ends up. Verse 17, "Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's part of the gospel story. That's part of the good news. Whew. Well, the line's ringing. Let me swing around here and get the buttons pushed. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Yes, sir. Mr. Richard, this is Gary Lee.
Good morning. Good evening, Gary. And, hey, I got your message for Jack. I got it here.
You got a new granddaughter, and you know, I don't know what it is about a grandpa. They are, you know, I consider myself hard tech, I said, but when it comes to your grandchildren, you know your prayers are out there. I'm telling you. It's under the weather, 105 degrees temperature. But more than that, I really am enjoying this. I'm enjoying, what's the word? Being edified, you know. It's like Cornelius in his household. You know, I'm guilty of a lot of things, and I could. It does. It rings home, you know. I see that pharisaical attitude sometimes.
You know, Gary, we all have it. Every one of us, in one way or another, we do. It's of the flesh. And you know, but when we read this, it should kind of prick us a little bit and say, you know, I got to go with the Word. You know, we've got to do that. We do.
Yes, sir.
We do.
Yes, sir.
Well, hey, let's pray for your grandson, Jack.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I got the note right here in front of me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift Gary Lee's grandson up to you, Jack, little Jack, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for him. Lord, we do. As Gary said, Lord, I you know, it's great being a grandpa. It's great being a papa. It sure is, Lord. But Lord, we love you. And we know we have that love because you loved us first.
Yes.
And that's
Amen.
Where we get that from, love. The love for our children. And Lord, that in itself is answered prayer. Oh, Lord, the prayers of our pastor, that the hearts of the fathers would be turned back to the children. and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And Lord, we've seen that. We see that answered prayer. And Lord, right now, we lift little Jack up, Lord. We lift him up to you. We say, here he is, Lord. He is one of yours. He is one of yours. I stand with his grandfather, Lord, the patriarch there, and we speak healing to Jack. We say, little Jack, be healed in the name and to the glory of the King of Kings, Amen. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we Amen. Thank you for it. Let it be to your glory. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
Richard, amen. Thank you very much. You coined it really good. Thank you for your prayers. And really, the reception is sometimes it's kind of, you know, shortwave is a wonderful broadcast. And sometimes it's on. But tonight, your broadcast is coming in good. And I was out sputting a little wood and I got in. And it's going to get cool tonight.
Well, great.
I was lucky to turn it on. I got probably half of what your message was of Cornelius in Acts 10 there. And it really is inspiring. I'm telling you, it really cut to the marrow. Yes, sir.
Well, great.
And,
praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I want to wish you and your household a good night here.
And
thank you, sir.
God bless. Thank you. Sure enjoy hearing from Gary Lee. Well, again, I do think that there's times I know I sure have to catch myself. You know, I sure don't know it all. I've been a Christian for over 20 years. You know, had the privilege and the honor of working under Pastor Peters for 10 years. And you know, we are to continue to grow. This living word, it does grow. You know, it gains. It has greater depth. It means so much more if we will yield to this word, you know. And again, put yourself in the place of these, as it says here, these circumcised believers, okay? These believers from among the circumcision, for example, the Judean Christians, you know, they were still a small little group among all the people. They didn't understand that Cornelius of the Italian cohort was part of the dispersion. They didn't understand that then. You know, it was a us and them type thing. But you know, whoever, if God's called them, you know, as Peter said later, who are we to stand in the way of God? Who are we to stand in God's way if God has called them? And the answer to that is we shouldn't. We shouldn't. You know, if you've read through the Gospels, and hopefully you've done that just recently, you know, you can see that there were times that who was it? I think it's in John. I don't know exactly. I read it just the other day. I was over there and I saw it last night during the Hope is Alive program. And I bet I can't come over and find it though, but I thought it was in John. And but it talks about, see, I should just read my Bible more and know my Bible better is what it is. Oh well, I'll find it and we'll talk about it maybe Saturday morning a little bit. But it talked about how you know, one of the apostles said to Jesus, he said, you know, we saw some people over here casting out demons in your name, and we rebuked them because they are not with us. And Jesus said, don't do that. That's kind of a summary of it. But he said, don't do that. You know, if they're not against us, they're for us. And we see that a couple of times in the Gospels. And it just comes to mind. It wasn't part of my notes or anything tonight. But, you know, we have to, that's one of the reasons that we're to go and read his word daily, is because it has new meaning for us every day. You know, you read it as a single person, a young person, and I gave this advice to a young couple that I had the privilege of performing a marriage ceremony for just last month, or early this month. And I said, you know, you've probably read the Bible before. And they both said, yeah. I said, well, you're fixing to get married. And so I looked at the man and I said, you know, the next time you read it, you're going to be a husband. And that word is going to have a new meaning for you as a husband. And how you are to love your wife like Christ loves the church. And you're to be willing to give your life for her. And want her to be pleased. And he shook his head, and you know, he's read some of those scriptures. But I said, you know, as you grow, and when you read it now as a husband, it's going to have different meaning. And to the wife, the same thing. You know, told the young lady, you've been raised in the ministry, you've been raised in the Word, but when you're a wife, it's different. It's different, and the Word will have greater meaning to you. You know, when you become a father, and fathers out there, I know you'll agree with me. You know, when you're married, you read the Word, it's one thing. When you're a father, the more you read the Word, and I've spoken with many of the men and many fathers about this, and they've all agreed, the more you read the Word, you see the relationship that when we become a father, that we have for our children, that the blessings we want for our children, and the good things we want for our children. We see that same relationship with our Heavenly Father and us as His children. See, that word, same word is there, but it gains so much greater meaning. It does. And it really encourages me when I read here and you think about Peter at this time, of this vision of Cornelius, and how when he goes and he gets this vision from God, and God tells him to go, and he sees this is new stuff for Peter. This is new stuff. It's breaking new ground. It's part of the growth of the church then that just helped the gospel spread on and on. And it's not just a one-time thing. You know, when you read, and I think that's why chapter 11 is so important, because it almost gives you a follow-up. You know, it happens. Well, now Peter's got to go back to the crew. He's got to go back to everybody else. And they've already heard about it. But in an orderly way, he explains what happened. And thank God they accepted it. And they realized that it was of God. You know? Now, Peter didn't understand it all the way through it. You know? Peter, you know, he just didn't. Right there in verse 29. That's why I came out without even raising any objection. So I asked, for what reason have you sent for me? He still didn't know. He still didn't know. It wasn't like they called him and, you know, this marriage I got to go perform. Thank goodness they called months in advance and said, hey, can you do this? And let's set up a date. And, you know, we got to talk a few times. And I had an opportunity to put a little something together. Peter didn't get that. He was thrust right into it. Well, I just mention all this because as we're wrapping up the program tonight, you know, we've had some new things have come to us in this ministry over the last year, okay? And sometimes they've some people have readily accepted them and some people haven't. It's, if we read about it here in the scriptures, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? As Peter said here, get up, stand up. I too am just a man. That's all we are. That's all any of us are men. But you know, if we love God, if we want to serve Him, if we make that commitment every day to do our best to read our Bible, to not be ashamed of Him and His gospel, well, we will grow. We will grow in His grace and knowledge. He wants us to do that. Our pastor wanted us to do that. That very thing. And we are. We are not abandoning any foundation. Our foundation is, I said in Branson, we preach, as they said here in the Gospels, we preach Christ crucified and risen from the grave. That's our foundation. Our foundation is that solid rock of Jesus Christ. That foundation will not crack. It will not. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. Thank you for your support. We've wrapped up this month of June. We'll have the July Bible reading program or Bible reading calendar up on the website tomorrow, and we'll be printing some out, taking them to the local church on Sunday, and we usually include them when we can in some of the orders we send out as a reminder. Again, thanks for tuning in. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We're going to go out with Mike Platt J. We've got his CDs available if you'd like them. If you would, get in touch with us. We'll be glad to send them to you.
I stood in front of a judge one day, watching the recite papers take everything away. All the things that I worked so hard for all of my life. Just one stroke from the pen in her hand, I felt so weak, could hardly stand. I felt so hopeless, helpless and scared all at the same time. I felt your presence, I felt your love. Just one touch of God from heaven above. I felt your presence, I felt your love. Jesus, you put your arms around me, I felt your love. Cheap motel where me, myself, and I was living hell. Even tried to end it all with some pills I bought in the booze. No one to talk to and nowhere to run. My back against the wall, my hand on a gun. At the time, I just didn't know what else to do. But then I felt your breath. I felt your love, just one touch of God from heaven above. I felt your presence, I felt your love. Jesus, you put your arms around me, I felt your love. Darkness away, I could feel all the demons running that were in my mind. You showed up in the nick of time, even with all the problems in my life. Then you proved to me that everything